Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG Policy Call on Tuesday, 3rd of July 2018. My apologies. On the call today, we have Aidan Ferdinand, Elsa Saadi, Gustavo Paiva, Iana Stuparu, Rafiq Damas, Razwana Muslim, Shah Rahman, Tatiana Kapina, Tomslin Same Anla. We have apologies from Asin Tungali. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafiq.
Thanks, Mariam, and thanks for everyone to make it and join this call today. So it's, we have this call in usual time. Our monthly call usually precedes council meeting. But for this time, we are organizing it in order to prepare for the drafting a team call scheduled this Thursday, and it's about the APDP team charter. So on the last day, we spent time during Panama meeting, and those days to work on the charter. There are still several areas that need to be agreed. And we are still negotiating with the other groups and the language in the charter. So we will try today to at least cover some of those areas to get a clear understanding what should be the NCSG position and see how we can negotiate with the other groups. We will go through several PDFs since for now the charter was split between different Google Doc by section, and so we start first with the scope or the EPDP team, as the composition maybe is one of the most kind of contentious part that we need to fix. Okay, so Mariam, you prepared the PDF for all the documents, but what you are sharing now, that's the charter, that the first document that was used, but I'm not sure is still up to date. So if you can share the APDP team PDF. Okay, so this is the section about the composition.
Okay. This is Milton. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So this is a new meeting format, and I don't see any documents. I just see a little square with with the names of
Sorry,
people.
Sorry, I really have a hard time to hear you. So can you speak up? And we have the document in Adobe Connect. So can you give us the ability to scroll the document? Sorry?
You're in Adobe Connect?
Yes.
Because the link took me into some Go Conferencing Hub Global Meet software.
Okay. Yes, there is the Adobe Connect, and there is also the kind of the to join the phone bridge. So likely you join the phone bridge only.
Okay, I'll go into Adobe Connect also.
Okay. So in meantime, I see Aiden is in the queue. Yes, Aiden.
Thanks, Rafiq. No, I just wanted to quickly comment for Milton's benefit that the Adobe link only changed a few minutes ago. So perhaps he has an earlier link. But we have a new Adobe room now where we can see the document. And Fazi's indicated that she will send the link to you now. While I have the mic, I might just note that Stephanie is attempting to log in as well, so she should be joining me shortly.
So just to clarify, and this time there is a confusion, there was a problem with the NCSG usual Adobe Connect, so we are using this one temporarily for because of that. So I understand that the people missed that, but yeah. You can find the details in the last email sent by Mariam to the NCSG. Okay, so we have this section, the APDP team, which is about the composition. So the current text, I think it's of concern for us because it's setting an imbalance between the different stakeholder groups in the GNSO, so giving more seats to the CIG by giving for each of the CIG constituency 3 seats, so they have like around 9, while the other stakeholder group have only 3 each. So by usually, I'd say, our let's say historical stance here that we need a balance in the composition, and I think that was shared already in the drafting team list, and we already saw pushback from other groups. So we're here to think what should be our proposal and also what we can make as other changes in the text around this. It's not just about the numbers, but if we have any other suggestion to tweak the language for this part of the charter. And I see that Tatiana is in the queue. Yes, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. So just to update our members, Aiden and I yesterday raised this issue on the drafting team mailing list, and we were accused of being disruptive because somehow to our council fellows from BC and IPC and some other groups, it looked like we agreed on this composition in Panama, and we didn't. What happened in Panama was that this composition was balanced, at least, by the rules of weighted votes. So the votes went in proportion. So even if IPC and BC and whatever had 3 members in the group, during the voting, they didn't have, you know, this weight. The problem was that in Panama, the math for the weighted votes was like completely wrong. So the lead for the group composition admitted that there was a math mistake. However, we moved away from the concept of vote because it was said that voting is discouraged in this group and we have to come to consensus. And what we've got now is the very weak consensus language saying that the chair should take into account that the group is disproportionate or whatever. While I believe that we have to continue fighting for the even composition, I also think that the problem is when our idea of decreasing the number of IPC and BC representatives will not be supported, we will not be able to find 9 people and 9 alternates for this EPDP. What I suggest doing, in addition to fighting for proportionate representation and decreasing the number of commercial stakeholder group representatives, I suggest that we will change this language is on the bottom of the screen for the purpose of assessing consensus and in order to reflect and respect current balance and so on. So this paragraph, we have to have a very clear and binding rules for the chair of the group there as to how the chair is going to assess consensus. I created a Google Doc yesterday. I'm going to share it on the chat here in the AC room. So any proposals are welcome, because after we pushed yesterday on the drafting team list, at least IPC said that, okay, they would agree probably to change this consensus language. So maybe we better to, as we say in Russia, to smith the iron while it's still hot. So if we are going to finalize this consensus language, at least in our favor, so we can at least ensure that if we end up with uneven numbers, at least the chair will be bound by the rules on consensus, it would be at least something in our favor, because otherwise we are completely in shambles here. So I'm going to share the link to this Google Doc here on the chat, and please, anyone who can contribute, who has thoughts how to make the proper rules for the chair in terms of assessing consensus in this unbalanced and uneven environment of representation, you're welcome. Please use the suggested mode. Thank you very much. That's all from me. Thanks.
Hey. Thanks, Tatiana. And I think the expression is not just in Russia. About the consensus, I think the definition of consensus level, all this, and also describing what the chair can do. The usual language comes from the working groups. I think the working groups guidelines. All this part of the genus operating procedure, so it would make sense just to double check. But since here we are clearly discussing about the consensus, I think that will override what is in the procedure. But this is just something we need to check, but I think should not raise any problem. Still have a queue, and we have Aiden, Farzan, and then Tatiana. Yes, Aiden, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq, and hi, everyone. This is Aiden Fadlin. I just wanted to respond quickly to a few comments that Tanya made a few moments ago. I was sort of chuckling at her initial characterization of the IPC's concerns that we had somehow reached an agreement in Panama City and backed out of it. To pretend that we had reached any agreement like they are doing, it's simply untrue. We never have. And I also think that it was charitable to say that it was a math mistake. Maybe it was, but it's increasingly looking likely that this is intentional, because the composition remains unbalanced. I think that Keith Grazik is responsible for drafting the text that we see to have seen composition. I think that he's been very dismissive of our concerns. I've raised this in at least 3 emails on the drafting team list over the past 5 days. Until, roughly 12 hours ago, we had not received a single response. Others within our stakeholder group have also raised these concerns as well. They've not been addressed. So composition is unbalanced. I do not believe it is a mistake. I think this is by design, and that's very problematic. I'm very grateful that Tanya has put forward that proposed language. I think it's great, but I still think we need to insist on an equal number of members relative to the other stakeholder groups, because I'm worried that even with the great language that Tanya has proposed, and this language essentially says that the chair must give appropriate weight to all perspectives, regardless of how many members that stakeholder group has put forward. Especially when we are not voting, I think that's very difficult for anyone to be able to manage. So we need to be careful there, and I think we must insist on having an equal number of participants relative to the other genus of stakeholder groups. In terms of the other bullet points in the structure, It's listed as two ICANN board liaisons, and I wonder if we can cut that down to one. I note that because the board itself has communicated that they were happy to send one liaison, so I'm not sure why we would send two. And I am strongly opposed to any other supporting organization or advisory committee sending three participants. I think they should send one participant and one alternate, with the exception of the GAC, who I appreciate for political reasons. I think three is a fair compromise. They were insisting on five a few days ago. So three for the GAC I could accept. So if we balance this out, three from the GAC, one from each SOAC, one board liaison rather than two, and equal number of participants, we should be able to get down from 36 members to 25 or so, which would make this group smaller and more manageable, and the contracted parties house is so concerned about the cost of transcripts. So I'm sure they would love to see some cost reductions in travel as well. So that would be a suggestion that I think we should put forward. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Aidan. Farzana, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Farzana speaking. So I appreciate the effort to make the language change. However, at this stage, I do believe that we should not strategically come to any compromise whatsoever on the number of the representatives. I have checked the transcript of the meeting that happened on 27th June, and I can see that there Marika even said that we might want to consider that the chair gives weight to the discussions and decides on consensus based on the council structure. And I do suggest that you go and read that what she says, because it got some support, but it's not in the document. And I think whatever language we come up with that says that the chair should be neutral and should consider that NCSU does not have as many members, unfortunately, will not really. First of all, we cannot assess whether the chair is doing this, and I think in this environment we are not going to be able to actually challenge the chair later on. And second of all, if we come to any compromise at the moment, I think we are going to lose the bigger picture, which is having at least equal number of representatives. IPCBC is insisting on having more representation because they want more participation, and they know that there are shortcomings if there's less of them. So I think we should not at any point say that we are going to compromise on the number. And I do not recommend strategically suggesting something now, because they would think that this is it, and we have and that they can just give us this language and have their nine members appointed to EPDP while we have only three. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Fagan. So we will go with Tatiana, and then with Milton. Yes, Tatiana, please go.
Thank you very much. Tatiana Tropina is speaking. So I believe that anyone who read drafting team mailing list yesterday would never think that I'm going to compromise on the numbers. I was fighting as much as I could. My question is here, what we are going to do, where is our last stop? how far are we going to go? Are we going not to approve the charter? Then I'm going to ask Rafiq, do we need supermajority for this charter? And if we vote against it, are we going to stop it from being adopted? Because if it is going to happen, I believe that they will insist on 302 representatives till the very end. So my question is how far we are going to go, and are you ready to be accused in being disruptive and whatever? Personally, I'm ready to. I'm ready to go that far. I'm ready to insist that far. I'm ready in being accused of being disruptive. I was already yesterday, so it's not a problem for me. But I want our group to decide how far we are going with this. Thank you.
Thanks, Tatiana. Sorry. So, if you check the bylaws, yes, for the EPDP, we have to get a supermajority vote, and so we can stop this. So, this is kind of nuclear for us. So, we have to think carefully about it. So, we can stop the EPDP for sure. That's possible. So we need to think how we will proceed anyway. I think that Milton was trying to speak. So Milton.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if I'm on Adobe Connect now, so I want to know if you can hear me okay.
Yes, we can hear you, yeah.
Okay. So
you are in the queue, I think, so.
Yes, I have been for some time. I agree that you should not only be threatening to stop the charter, you should be essentially pulling out any way you can think of to inflict pain on the process, because they need to move fast, and what you have to make them understand is that by initiating a fight over process and representation, they are wasting tons of time. And you need to even look beyond the EPDP process itself and look at IRP challenges or any other process challenges that you can threaten them with to say that, you know, this is fundamentally unfair. I think that they won't react to anything else, and I don't know exactly what's up with Keith. I'm going to try to contact him privately, but you should also be talking to registrars and trying to get them to take, you know, a few votes away from this. So when you talk about a supermajority, my question is, a supermajority of what? The council? Is that all you need? That's a question.
Yes, so I think it's the supermajority by our house. So.
Okay, so so it's a council vote, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay. So I think, yeah, the council have to approve the charter, and you're saying that if everybody on NCSG votes against it, then you can stop it. Is that correct, or do you need to pick up some non-com members or what?
Yeah, good question. Even if they got the non-com, it's better to double check. I think it's 60% part. In each house, even if they get the non-com, that won't be enough. That will be less than 60%.
Rafiq, if I could jump in for a moment, it's 2/3 from both houses that we need. A supermajority is 2/3 of both houses.
Yeah, that's what I said. So
that sounds like you have a very clear ability to stop it.
Yes, we have. That's why I said it's nuclear option. We have that
That's not a nuclear option, Rafiq. That it's just an unacceptable charter. I mean, why are you calling that a nuclear option? You're just saying this is an unacceptable charter. We won't pass it, and if we can stop it, you stop it. That, I think, will resonate with them. If they're not listening to the justice arguments, then they will listen to the procedural argument.
Okay, Milton, I'm not arguing about what the exact wording by nuclear option. I mean that it's really about deterrence here, so we can use that to be clear that we can stop the process. So, okay, guys, you can discuss about the wording. I'm not going to spend that much time. Again, it's about deterrence, and that it's a way to say that we have the ability to stop the process.
Rafiq, I'm sorry. Can I jump for a minute? We actually have to discuss
this
option, and we have to agree that we are going to stop the charter.
Tatiana, please. Okay, I'm trying here to see you, but okay. I mean, I couldn't hear you. So please, just to be clear, please avoid everyone to jump like this. I will have a really hard time to hear you and understand what you're saying. Okay, please, Tatiana, you can go now. You can go ahead.
Hi, I'm really sorry that it jumped because to me it looked like you were going to close the issue. My point is that we really have to agree as a group that we're going to use this option. That's it. And I believe that this decision is important because I totally agree that if we cannot use fairness, justice, and whatever arguments, I'm for stopping this chapter because this is a completely unacceptable document, a document that we really shall not compromise because we will be ripped off, I don't know, dignity, decency, and whatever you can imagine. So we will lose the war or game even before it started. But I also believe that this is the line we have to take, like, okay, we agree on this call that as a final stop, we councillors are going to vote against the chapter for whatever reason, I mean, no, in whatever circumstances, even if we will be accused in being disruptive, in having no EPDP, in whatever circumstances, whatever accusation we will have, not being cooperative, we are going to vote against it. And I believe that this is immense pressure. This is immense pressure. So once we say, yes, we are going to do it, yes, we are going to do it. Otherwise, we will have thoughts about not being political enough, not being diplomatic enough, not being whatever enough. We have to agree that we have a final stop. And I'm personally voting yes. We agree to have this final stop. But I don't know about others. Thank you.
Thanks, Tatiana. So, yeah, I mean, summarize, I see that everyone is for, that's what I understand, the direction from those who intervened, so that we connect, that everyone understand that it will mean to have a stance regarding the representation that is not open for negotiation. That we are asking for the balance in terms of representation. And so if we don't get that, it's clear, then we can say that we will vote against the charter. So it's important to make that clear. Also, I think I ask everyone to understand that other group will react to that, but I mean, not the first time, and I don't think that's something that should dictate our decision. Because I think if they were in the same situation, they will do the same. So they are not going to think twice about that, and they will use the voting threshold for their own interest. But, without going really into the whole thing, what does it mean, but just to be sure that we all in the same page about that, and but maybe for clarity in terms of process, the vote will be electronic vote, And so if we, during the drafting team call or by email discussion, are making clear that we are going to vote against the chair by the procedure for the electronic vote, and decide that she decided that we are not ready for vote, and so that will be deferred, and that will be means likely that will be deferred to the next meeting. I think that will be in the 19th of July, and so more work to be done. So this is just in term of procedure. If we clearly say that we are going to vote against, everyone knowing that the impact on the result for the voting, it's likely that we are not going to have electronic vote. This, no, for now, this is my kind of my reading, but it depends what will be decided or, let's say, interpret in the this week after the drafting team call. Okay. So that's at least for the composition. For the other points in the the composition as such.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Okay. So can you still hear me? That's okay. And that's just let me forget what I was going to say. Okay, yeah, I was talking about the AC and SO representation too. I think what we can leave with is just GACN has up to three representatives, but the rest they should have only one. And I don't think even the CCNSO should participate in that. But that's my personal point of view. I don't see anything that they let them to participate. And we should avoid the situation that's kind of a cross-community working group form here. Okay, anyone want to comment or have any question on this? I don't see any. Okay, so guys, have you have any other concern with this charter other than just the composition? I mean the balance between CAG and NCAG. Okay. Yes, Mirko, please go ahead.
Yes. This is part of a much bigger problem. It's not just the representation of commercial versus non-commercial. It's this whole idea that whenever there's an important decision to make, ICANN completely rearranges its representational structures lie. And this is a very, very, very GNSO issue. This is about the WHO is requirements for GTLDs. And so why do we have ALAC and other advisory committees on there? And I know that they might be allies, but what the heck are the CCs doing on this thing? They are not affected by this policy. They don't have to follow it. They are not contracted parties. What are they thinking? That's my thing. I don't know how far you're going to get with that. I doubt if you're going to get anywhere with GAC and ALAC and ESSAC, but I think you might at least propose that they be advisory, there to be listened to but not counted as part of the consensus. I mean, this is just crazy. This is a straight-up-the-line contracting issue in the GTLD space. It makes no sense for ACs and another SO to be in there. Why don't they invite the address people if they're going to do it this way?
Okay. Thanks, Milton. About the CCMSO already raised that point, and to be honest, I have no idea why they were added. I mean, there was no reason to add the CCNSO. For the really political, so they used all the means they have during the meeting last week to push. So that's why there is this idea to have the compromise to get them on board. But I guess the idea of the participation and the consensus is something maybe we can use, so they can participate in the process. But when it comes to the to decide about the consensus, should be maybe only the CCNSO groups. Okay. Yes, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. I want to reply to Milton and in general. Milton, I actually raised this issue on the at the meeting, I think, of 27th on Wednesday in the morning meeting. I said that we have to go with three-tier group structure, like members, participants, and observers. And ALAC and GAC and others should not be participants of consensus. What I got in response, I clearly remember I got eye rolls from Kiev and from some others saying, oh, my God, but we decided to abandon this structure. Then I raised this issue in more general. The GNSO is literally allowing to test its borders by addressing the unreasonable demands from ASO and SO and ACs, because never GAC is going to allow us to participate in their process. Why are we adjusting and violating our borders of policy making whatever we are getting any demands from them? So I suggest that we go through, and then again, everyone thought that probably I'm a kind of lunatic. Kind of reaction I got, because it seems that people don't see the problem. Contracted party house doesn't see the problem of inviting GAC and ALAC. At least several people came to me later and told me, no, but look how wonderful it goes in Walk Track 5. I don't believe it goes wonderful in Walk Track 5. I believe that Walk Track 5 has been in shambles and since the very beginning. Well, nevertheless. So I believe that the solution we can get here, we might still push for structure member, participant, observer, where only GNSO structure members are going to be decisive in any consensus call. And members like GAC and whatever, participants like GAC, ALAC and whatever, they can contribute in terms of input into the discussion, because I believe that at this stage we are never going to exclude them. But they are never going to be called in any consensus call. I believe that this is the only structure we can propose and support. So this would be my idea, but again, I propose it already. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Tatiana, for this. So, I mean, at the end, all this is coming started at Truman, that table, this infamous table, that's raising all the kind of issue for us. So we can come back to that idea. That is really for the GNSO to be, I'd say, the center here for making the consensus, and other IC that can participate, of course, can give input, but they should not be in the driving seat in any manner. Okay, so I can really understand here, I think, hope I'm not mistaken, you get some clear position as NCSG, what should be our stance on this composition matter, and important to be clear when we communicate the addressing team, so to other groups in GNSO and in the council, that's not really negotiable for us. So let's see what they can propose. I understand there will be pushback and the runs, but doesn't matter at the end. They would do the same if they were in our position. Okay. Tatiana, is it an old or new hand?
It is a new hand. I want to address these concerns on the chat about them being able to speak and whatever. The point about inviting them, and I talked to several board members who told me this, that the final balancing act will be done by the board, and the board will expect GNSO or this group at least to hear the concerns that GAC or ALAC will raise and address them. And this is why it is important to allow them to speak, because if they raise any concerns that will not be at least properly analyzed in the work of this EPDP, even if they will not be addressed, but there would be an explanation that, okay, GAC raised this and that issue and we decided not to go with that, the board would be happy to adopt this policy. But not inviting them might end up in some very last moment, you know, screams and changes and whatever. So just to avoid the risk, it would be better to invite them. But then again, as I said, I think the structure should be threefold. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tatiana. At the end, advisory committee, they have their own process. They don't like the outcome. Even after participating, they can give an advice to the board regarding the recommendation. So whatever it's the GAC, and you can expect that, SAC or the LR. So, I mean, it's not a problem at the end. They have the channels to express their opinion about the policy recommendation that will be the outcome from the EPDP. And again, also, even depending of the outcome of the deliverable from the EPDP, we still have to vote on that. So there will be that step for us to decide if we are happy with the outcome or not. So, okay, I guess we spent quite time here and on this issue, and we got clarity. Unless there is any other point that needs to be raised, because I think we went through the kind of issue we expect to talk about, I would like that we move to other points of the charter. So, if you have any other issue, please say so. Otherwise, we will move to another charter, another section. Okay, I don't see any objection here, and so in terms of a quite important part or section of the charter that we need to confirm is the scope. So, Mariam, can you please upload the PDF for the scope section? So, Mary, did you hear me or not? I'm not sure if you lost her as a host.
Hello, Victoria. Can you repeat that? I couldn't hear that properly.
Okay, there is the scope Google Doc. So, if you can share the PDF, it was the first link. Not that one. The scope, please. Ooh, okay. Yeah. Okay, this one. So, with regard to the scope, we also spent some time last week about what should be here. because there was kind of push that we get to cover the temporary spec and also the annex. And including the annex meant that covering the access and accreditation model. But we kind of could get that the annex should not be covered or included in the scope of the EPDP. And so, as you can see here, it's more like trying to outline the different from the different section in the temporary spec what should be covered in by the EPDP team, which means either confirm or amend or reject the different part of the temporary spec. So I would really ask here that for those who had the time, if they have a specific concern about what is in the scope, or they would like to request changes there. So I know that Farzana sent to me some language, but if you want to share with us, maybe to explain more what are the reasons behind those changes. So.
Sorry, Rafik, I was not paying attention to what you were saying, but I will dig up the language. I think what I saw in this document was not very, for me, it was too bad for one thing that caught my eye was the thick data registries, but I have to go back to the document. I can't remember my comments, so please continue without me until I get my notes up.
It's nice to know that you didn't pay attention to me. okay, so. Yeah, I mean, the language, most of the language is coming from the kind of analysis that done by the contractors party, most of it. And I think what may be of interest for us is that what will be covered in terms of access is just what is in the temporary spec, so I think that's something we can live with. Okay. So any comment or question on this while waiting for Farzana? Okay, I see none, but...
I'm jumping in. Can I ask Stephanie to, because Stephanie made extensive comments and shared it with our list, if she could briefly tell us a little bit about these changes that I find my comments to, then that would be great. Stephanie, I'm putting you on the spot because I might put that on the spot too.
Hey, that's good tactic, Farzana. I think one of the comments made by Stephanie and captured in the document, it's about RDAP. So maybe it's something that you can clarify here, Stephanie. I'm not sure if it's coming from your redline document or not, but this is what was added to the scope section as a comment or suggestion. So if you can clarify or maybe elaborate more about that comment.
Okay, did they put my comment on the seat distribution in whole? I haven't checked yet because I put things like the comment and certainly Rubens responded to this. because the problem with RDAP is the guys are ready to do RDAP. You know, you can see that Elliot has already rolled it out. The small guys are not. And this is an issue that has come up more than once, and you might remember Ruben's going to the microphone talking about it. So there are several big players around the table, notably VeriSign, among others, who are ready to implement RDAP. It's a cost benefit for them. It is a anti-competitive measure for them, and they're going to further squeeze out the small players. That's just me speculating, but it sure seems likely. So that's why I commented. I wanted to see what the response was, and Ruben indeed made several comments back and forth. This brings up, of course, the whole business of fix this in as well, because some of the players are going, we don't want to continue with SIC, who is transfer policy, not transfer policy, but change. And, you know, that's still up in the air in terms of what's happening with the new who is, because it doesn't make any sense anymore. If you don't have a uniform SIC who is that you want the big players, i.e. VeriSign, to shift to, then why would you go ahead with this? It's just a cost on smaller registrars. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Yes,
pardon. Sorry. Yeah, so I found my notes. Basically, I had this in mind as well. About RDAP, because when I looked at the documents, there is only one question about RDAP, and that they wanted to discuss at this point that I looked at it, and that was about after migration to RDAP, when can requirements when can they be required to use who is protocol be eliminated. So really just one question about a new protocol that is going to talk about gated access and its implementation. And really, I am no RDAP expert. I don't know if it is being discussed in other groups, but this is something I think at least they should talk about. The other point that I had to make was about the FIC registry. I believe before going into question about whether FIC registry is GDPR compliant and stuff like that, we have to attack the question that whether FIC registries are needed. So, and, you know, we should not talk about first, whether we see that these registries are GDPR compliant, we should talk about whether they are needed. And then if they are needed, then we can talk about GDPR compliance and stuff like that. But maybe this is not something that they want to reopen. This is not an issue that they want to reopen. But sincerely, I think also as such, I saw that they like the concept of fixed registry. But I think if we can fix this, if we can prove in this group that fixed registries are not needed, and that this transfer should not even happen. Now, for various reasons, one could be that it's not GDPR compliant, and there is no legitimate purpose to it. Then I think we should reformulate the questions slightly. But it's a very contentious issue, so I'm not sure. The other thing that I wanted to discuss was about the access. So I think the section about access is good, access to non-public hood, or as I always say, personal information of domain name registrants. But I wanted to know if it is good to and discuss whether how this uniform access model that ICANN is coming up with, and it's saying that it's not a model, how that is going to come into play. Because we don't want ICANN to adopt it and impose it on GNSO discussion. So should we clarify what will happen if ICANN takes unilateral action about access to personal information, whether it comes with a model, whether it imposes things on the contracted parties, but contracted parties told me that they're not worried because they have the ICANN, whatever happens, they have to discuss it with them and they have to negotiate the contract. But to be honest, I think there is a risk because the temp spec says contracted parties have to provide reasonable access to who is data, and ICANN could say, well, in compliance to that, you need to come up with you need to adopt this. So these are the three issues that I have. There is the fixed registry, there is the access, and there is RDAP. Thank you.
Thanks, Fazana. So you're trying to respond about the access. As you can see, it's a question here. If we the existing requirements of temporary spec are enough or not. So if that the EPDPT team can review and decide not enough and work to amend that, maybe to elaborate more. But I don't think really we can add kind of specific language how uniform access model should be handled. I don't think that's really the scope for OPDP team. It's more for the GNSO Council as a whole to decide. It depends. If, for example, there is more pressure in the board to make it as a temporary spec, and if it happens, so it will come back to the Council again, and so we can initiate PDP. As there was discussion that we know we should handle it, so we can initiate the PDP at some time after we start work in the EPDP process. The org, ICANN org can try to impose some model. I mean, and that reminds me that I think it will be strategical, regardless what you think about the process, to respond to the consultation. If the ICANN org try at the end, the registry and registrar, they can refuse as a MAD contract, and either they can say that it's a matter of consensus policy, and so it will have to go through GNSO. If otherwise, they are not. The other way is temporary spec, or just. The org can try to negotiate, but I think they have the higher, hand and on this side. So whatever the pressure is on the board or in the ICANN org. So just to summarize, I don't think really we need to put such language about the uniform access model here. It's more an issue about for the council to handle likely in the near future. Okay, did this respond to your concern, Farzi?
Yeah, it has alleviated all my concerns now. I can just, I'm at ease. Thank you.
Okay. So, for the CQEs, can you share the language so we can use, we can send that as suggestion if you want. And for the RDAP, I think it's more a question. As it was suggested by Stephanie, so we can clarify on that matter. But anyway, all those items are important anyway for us when we, if we start this EPDP. So something we, our representatives, they should be, they should cover. Okay. So any comment or question on this section? I don't see none. So we have other parts, other section. Some of them, I think, I don't think they are. Okay, there are other section. So please, if you are not speaking, just please mute yourself. Otherwise, it creates some. Noise and
Rafiq,
echo.
Rafiq, I'm trying to get into the queue. Hello, Rafiq. I just didn't raise my hand when you were asking for questions. I didn't raise it fast enough. Can I ask a question before you go on to a different topic?
Okay. Yeah, that was my turn. Yeah, sure. Yes, you can ask a question. Yeah.
Apparently, this drafting team meeting on the 5th of July, Tatiana cannot make it. Is it possible to appoint an alternate, somebody who would be able to speak up and articulate our view? That's my question.
Rafiq, I haven't. I have an answer to that. Unfortunately, I sent and I filled in the proxy form for Tatiana, but then I have gotten an email from Natalie that about, I checked it very early in the morning. I don't know if I'm right, but I've received an email that it is not possible to do the usual proxy for this. I'm going to check again.
I think she responded to you because it's a drafting team call, so there is no vote, and there is no then need for a proxy vote. That's why she responded to you. However, I think it's possible to, for a period of time to have a temporary alternate, like for a few days, because it's not just for the meetings, but the temporary alternate also will be added to the council list, so to participate. So I think it's possible to have that. But just the response from Natalie was that as it's not a council meeting per se, there was no need for a proxy vote. That's just the clarification.
Then I have to fill in the form. Sorry, Rafiq. Then I have to get an alternate for Tatiana, right? That's possible, no? There's no vote, but an alternate.
Yeah, I think it's possible, yeah.
Okay, so who wants to volunteer? Who's here? Volunteer? Well, it seems like no one wants to volunteer. I could add, no, I can't do it. I'm chair. I want to, so anyway, I will go and discuss and see if we can find an alternate. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So again, I mean, it's not to proxy, Stephanie, just if you want to, it's more if we want to make a replacement. Okay. Okay, so no further comment on this part. I think that was just the procedural question, in fact, not related to the scope document. Okay, so I said there are other sections, but I'm not sure, I don't think they are contentious or raising any specific issues. I think here other councillor, if they want to discuss any section of the charter. So they think that they need to get feedback here, or they need to get some clarification. Okay. Okay, so, I mean, asking again if any section from the charter that you want to, that we discussed, that's a good time to do so. Okay, I mean, I see that there is a question and trying to respond to Stephanie. So, Stephanie, the voting proxy is for a council meeting as we have a vote, and so we can use that in purpose. So, we give, as you know, to other councillors. This is a drafting team call. It's not really a council call per se. So even if we give a proxy vote, that has no effect since there is no vote to be made during the call. So it would make sense. I'm not sure how, if it's procedurally okay or not. It would make sense to have an enter name so they can participate in the process. That's, they are not a proxy vote. That's a different thing. Okay. Okay, guys. Is there any other point that you want to discuss? Okay, and responding again to Stephanie in term procedure, the motion was already made that the placeholder that was submitted for the council meeting in Panama, and so likely it needs to be amended, but we have that motion already, so that's what will be used for the electronic vote. Okay, so it seems that I'm trying here to respond to most of the questions, the Adobe Connect. And one of them about the date. So about the call, the two dates that they were available for the meeting were either Tuesday, which means today, which is quite early, so not providing any time for any group to discuss like what we are doing now, or Thursday. And in fact, for both of them, the general so chair won't be available, and so it will be the vice chair to manage the call. So if that's clarify why the dates were chosen, I know that they are not good, and not convenient for everyone, and some people clearly cannot make it. But so that's why we picked one of those two dates, having the call, the drafting team call, in Thursday allowed us, in fact, we, the NCG, to discuss this matter. So, I mean, Aiden, I don't think it's true because Heather won't make it for the call, so it won't be 100% for APC. Anyway. Okay, I don't see any comment or question with related to the charter or other section. So, okay. So there is no really known. I mean, I would prefer that we, suggest, not necessarily prefer, I would suggest that we adjourn the call. Otherwise, really, I'm trying to provide you guys an opportunity to make a question or comment, so. Okay, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Sorry, I changed my mind. You can adjourn the call. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Tatiana. That was helpful. Okay. If there is no other comment, so we can end the call for today. And just to respond to Aiden, it will be the vice chair to chair the call. So. Okay, that's it, and thanks for everyone for joining. I know it was not easy since many of us just coming back from Panama meeting, but we needed to make it for extraordinary reasons. But it's done. Yep. Hey, see you soon, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. Goodbye.